Create with Fran Sydney. Hello everyone and welcome to the show. Welcome to Create with France, creating the life that you want. And today with Magdalene Lyle from the Sunshine Coast in Australia. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm very excited because today we're going to talk to help you and go through an important topic of not having maybe too much purpose and direction in our life, feeling like you're not good enough, you can't get there. And sometimes you tried everything, you know? You tried psychotherapy, you tried antidepressant, you tried all sorts of hobbies and things, still not there. You try hypnosis, still quite not there. And coaching, not there. And, you know, there are lots of things in the world, and one is talking to the universe and to the people around us and get this vibration. So let's talk a little bit about woohoo today and get to see if what you think is woohoo is actually science. There is a quantum field around us, there are, you know, spiritual events that we can't understand. And if it's something that intrigues you, let's talk about it, because Magdalene is an expert. And she uses advanced conversational hypnosis and rapid transformational therapy on top of being able to channel wisdom from the universe. So this is specifically pertained to today in this episode, talking about this lack of purpose. So a person that has done everything, tried everything, comes to you with a problem and you think, this time we can really use some wisdom from somewhere else. And then so let's understand this concept. But of course, as usual, let's look first at the symptoms. What are the type of symptoms that clients come to you with? How do we feel and what's going on? Because as we know, the symptom is the tip of the iceberg. It's not the problem. The problem is something else hidden. So, you know, it's not a broken leg. So
that's right.
Let's say that the microphone is now yours, you know, for about 8 minutes now. Can you just explain what type of clients you get? And so we can get the symptoms sorted out. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Actually, you put it perfectly. The symptoms that I see when I have clients are basically from their own purpose. So they might have a path that they really want to follow, and they know that innately they are passionate about it. But they just don't know how to get into it, how to follow it, because normally there is some resistance, and that resistance isn't getting them to move forward in their path that they want to do. For example, you know, we've had, or I've had, I say we because of my guides coming in. I work as a team. So they come to me because they really want to either be a channel, or they want to follow their path in whatever they're following. They might even just want to be a coach themselves. They want to inspire people. So what happens is there's some symptoms of themselves that they just, you know, they know what they want to do, but they can't sit in it. They can't move forward. And what happens? They get scared. They've become fearful. They're not confident. Those are the limiting beliefs that stops them from moving forward. They feel like they're not worthy enough to follow a path that they feel passionate about. They feel like they're not self-sabotaging, but imposter syndrome is huge. So imposter syndrome is basically them thinking, oh, I can do it, and I talk about it, but then they don't believe in themselves. So believing in themselves is a big one.
It's a big one, yeah. So I'm quite sure that a lot of people will resonate with this. You know, we might want to do something and we see, well, this other person is doing it. Why? What's stopping me? So the client comes to you. So what is the process that you go through to help a client to detangle the problem and what's actually going on in their life?
So what happens usually is I don't particularly ask them what the problem is at the beginning. I go into channel, I tell them what's going to happen. I explain to them about my guides. I explain to them about how the session will go. And sometimes it can go for an hour and a half to 2 hours. So I will just lead into my channel, as you might have experienced or know, that I take a few breaths, I talk about the guides, and sometimes the clients might even close their eyes as well, because we are energy. And if they're feeling in the energy that I'm bringing in, they will also feel benefit too. And I want to feel their energy. So we both can sit in the stillness. Some of them don't. They might have their eyes open in the time that I'm channeling. I will give a message, guided message. Normally, they already know and anticipate what the question, what the issue is. I come out of channel and then I will ask them how they're feeling, what did they feel, how did they resonate with the message. And they will normally say, well, it all was resonating with me. It was really profound. I really understood it, but I can't really embody what they're saying. How can I stop myself from being fearful of being in the moment of channeling or allowing myself to let go enough to stop my thoughts from thinking that I'm not worthy of it? Is it really me? So all these questions come up, and that's when advanced conversational comes into it, because it's me being present with them, very curious as to what is stopping them from opening up, what is stopping them from allowing themselves to follow their path or resonating with the message. And so when you're in therapy, it is about understanding what they're feeling at that moment, because normally it will go into, they will regress and they will go back into a situation or event in their childhood or where they felt that trauma. And a lot of them break down crying because they didn't really, you know, think that a situation happened in their childhood brought so much emotion and so much resistance in their life to feel the worthiness. And it's had transformational outcome. Usually when they're watching me channel, they become entranced, and that becomes quite easy for the therapy to begin, because it's really begun through the channeling, if that makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm. You're kind of in a sort of meditative state, so you're more open to any possible understanding of what's actually going on inside. Because we always think, and I saw some psychiatrist talking about it yesterday, you know, we think the solutions are outside, but most of the times the solution to our problems are inside. So we have to learn to be still and look inside and see what is our conscience saying, what our soul craving for, and this connection, disconnection that we sometimes have with our inner self, and at the same time with the universe, with what is around us, because we can't connect to what we really want. Sometimes it's created by these events to which, you know, it doesn't look like very important, but we have this emotional attachment that resonates to ourselves. So we block literally with this imposter syndrome, self-sabotage, and not feeling we're good enough. We do block our progression, don't we? We think we're going to fail.
Absolutely, France. You've hit the nail on the head exactly, because when we are feeling that we aren't opening up to it, you know, that we are self-sabotaging, or the imposter syndrome, that we can tell everyone, oh yes, I can do that, but when it comes time to thinking about themselves, they really don't feel the worthiness within them. Mm. And you really have to start within yourself first to be able to, you know, project any kind of moving on or their path, their journey, whatever they're wanting to do in their lives. You really have to understand within first what is the resistance they're holding. Mm-hmm. Because there's always going to be resistance. And the resistance is, in some cases that I've had, that they can't really open up. Does that make sense? So they can't open up to themselves and allow I would say in my experience, spirituality or an energy or a higher frequency to come through. Now, this might sound woohoo, but it's not, because really it's just going within. And a lot of the clients that go within find out the awareness, you know, they become self-aware. Oh, that's why, you know, when my parents were telling me off or abusing me, I couldn't say what I wanted to say and I didn't have a voice. And when they become an adult, oh, I don't have a voice, so I can't really say what I want in my life because I don't know how.
Yeah, I'm powerless. Yeah. And you know what? You're really resonating again, because yesterday in the Diary of a CEO, there was an interview with a very well-known psychiatrist who is a teaching also psychiatrist. And he's been working in prison with inmates. He was not in prison, but he was working with inmates. And he also works a lot with addiction. And he was saying about how toxic we are in when we talk about men. Men now, they can't win anything because we don't allow them to cry, to express emotions, to do anything. But yet they had to be the caregiver and earn and do this and that to be perfect. And there is a toxic masculinity idea that a man has to be overpowering and strong and muscular. He has to be high in a certain way. Otherwise, you're not a man. And a lot of weird stuff that is coming out is really making them feel. And he was saying body dysphoria, dysmorphia, they think they're not right, etc. But one thing that really was interesting about this psychiatrist's comments was this. He was saying, if you can get any addicted person to any substance to be able to go inside themselves and meditate, he is Indian as an origin, so he knows all about his own training, proper training about meditation. If you can get him to go inside and to live with a feeling that they are experiencing, even if it's uncomfortable, let it sink in, let it understand what's going on there, there'll be no addiction anymore. And that was so interesting, because men are not allowed to express their emotions. Women do. Women just go and vent and talk about emotions all the time, even gesticulate, like me, if you're watching me on video. but men are supposed to bottle up everything. I don't know how we teach this to men, that they shouldn't talk about emotions. They should talk about things and gadgets and the sports results, but they can't talk about emotions. And as a result, they are inside, and then they can cause a lot of problems later on in relationships, in work, in their health. So talking like that. So it's very important that we understand that psychiatrists is there talking about all these ancestral feelings, emotions, and past trauma that we pass through our ancestors. They're passing it to us. We feel it in ourselves. We feel it as it's our own. So it's important. There are epigenetics here. There is science here. We feel this stuff. It has to come out. We have to learn. And I think with meditation, with being in nature, we connect you into the environment, to who we are, and being still, that's how we get this connection. And also one of the things is to have the social media going all the time. Talks and seminars and lessons going all the time. We never have those 10, 15 minutes a day, half an hour a day to really think and ponder who we are, what are we here for, where we're going. If we're always running, you know, to do everything, then we might lose up on this vital connection to who we are, to ourselves, and to our direction, which is why we can't get our connection. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you are so right, Franz. You know, men have this social stigma about, you know, they cannot be seen to be emotional. And when they are seen to be emotional, oh, well, that means you're too feminine. You know, that means, you know, and they put them in a box and they start labeling them as to what they should and shouldn't do. And so what happens? They get withdrawn. And I just want to also mention that my clients have been males that I've been talking about. And what happens is that in their childhood, you know, depending on what's happening, where they are in their sibling stage, if they're the eldest, I don't know about you, but I think in general, when you are the eldest, you always cop the most because you're the first, you're the one that, where do you lie as a sibling? I know I'm the youngest.
Well, I'm my firstborn, and then a year, two days, and 2 hours later, my brother was born.
Right.
So we were two babies in the prom.
Yeah, wow.
He was bigger than me. He was bigger.
But yeah, usually the eldest ones, you know, because they're the first, there's more discipline, and you have to try and show, you know, some form of some sort of, you know, boundaries. And so the eldest one usually is the one copying it. But what I was going to get at was, with the men that I've had, is that they've had to suppress their emotions so much. And they just, in that era, just wasn't allowed to be vocal. And that shows that they weren't worthy. They were unseen, you know. They weren't allowed to make a noise, you know, that generation. I also wanted to, do you know, he's a big Instagram, he once said, do you know him? I'll have to get him.
Give me maybe a quote or something.
No, he does a lot of the social media. He's high up there, and he gives advice on social media and how to, you know, what to do on Instagram, what to do on Facebook. Van, what's his name? Anyway, he was interviewed just recently, and I've got him on YouTube. And he was asked, what's one advice you can give to people out there with social media, and how you can help yourself? And he said, out of all the advice that I give, I'll say, go get therapy first. And it's so true. You'll know who I mean, my friends. I'll give you the name after the podcast. And
yeah, we'll put it in the title and description. The person was.
And I'll give you the video of what he says, because he says that there's no point putting yourself out there, and even if you can't put yourself out there because you are scared, you are fearful, you know you don't want to be seen, go get therapy. Everyone needs therapy at some stage in their life, and I think, you know, I don't know, as a therapist yourself, do you hear a lot of people saying, oh, you know, when you go to therapy, that means you've really got a problem? But it doesn't have to be a huge problem.
Therapy is more for support, isn't it? Because we, you know, like 20 years ago, nobody knew about this. So there was this thing, if you were watching American movies, and which we did a lot in Italy, we're all dubbed in Italian, and you would see people say, oh, today I went to my therapist and said, today my psychiatrist said, so everybody was in therapy. And I thought, wow, they have a problem, you know, because before, and maybe there was this assumption that therapy is for a very, very serious problem. Yes. But I think now the discourse has changed in the social square, you know, and we talk about more. For example, you might have problems for divorce-related issues and you need some support, or you might be not divorced, but you're having a problem in your relationship. So you go to family counseling and therapy, or you might have children with special needs, and that is really driving you to a point where you can't find a balance in your life because the time is going. So you need that support. So it's no longer, or I got a mental illness, or I have a bipolar, depression, ADHD, whatever name of a condition that we give it. Sometimes it's not a condition as such that we are ill, physically ill. It's just a situation where an expert can help us to live through this moment. So it's not that the expert will cure anything. So we're not ill. It's just that as a society, we need to understand that it's a huge connection between the body and the mind, and how we're going to feel depends a lot on our thoughts and what we're nourishing our mind with. So the therapist is an important thing, and not because we think therapeutical is for healing. It isn't just for healing, it's for understanding as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think therapy and channel the guides say is about having a different perspective. And I think that's what, you know, therapy and the guides say to me, is not to really suppress what you're fearful of. You know, don't push it aside, because they came to you for a reason, to learn from. If the fear and the doubt and the lack of worthiness, don't shun them away. They're there for you to understand and grow from. And how to do that is by giving a different perspective on an issue. If you were to have a different perspective of, well, I am worthy, I do love myself, I can be the person that can get up on stage, I can be a person that can do a live on Facebook. You know, what is stopping me? Absolutely nothing. So at the end of the day, it's about having a different perspective of whatever you're dealing with, of your limiting beliefs. And, you know, therapy, any kind of work that you're doing for self-discovery is about having a different perspective on the issues at hand.
Yeah, understanding that. So we're going to the close of this very interesting interview. And I thank you so much for being here to see another aspect of what our mind can do with us. We can even stop ourselves. We don't need an enemy. We are our worst enemy. Isn't that incredible? One tip before we go. One tip for a person that is feeling this lack of self-worth or lack of direction, self-sabotage, you're not really sure what's going on, and confused. What would they do? The first step, so we can close the episode and say, right, now I learned this, I'm worth doing this, I'm worth having success. What's my next step now? What can I do today?
Well, there's one, but it's two combined. I would write a automatic writing. So sometimes if you're sitting by yourself and you just have, with your eyes closed, just write whatever it is that comes into your mind, and sometimes getting it out of your head and putting it onto paper helps relieve that. I also, the second thing on that is to write a page or three or four things of what you're grateful for. What are you grateful for? Are you grateful? I saw an eagle today. It was absolutely beautiful. I had time to, you know, walk along the beach today. Just anything that you're grateful for also gives a different perspective.
Excellent. Guys, if you think that this woo-hoo, it's not. It's actually science-based. In fact, if you watch the Huberman Lab, Andrew Huberman, who is a professor of neurobiology and ophthalmology at Stanford University, so not just a nobody, he actually is doing it and is telling people to do it, to journal every day for, did he say 12 minutes? And he was proving with science, so this has been measured, that people who spend time writing down with pen and paper, so I'm going to hold one, using a pen, not digitally, the act of writing down, so is a kinesthetic activity, helps us in lots of ways to help our mental wellness and focus and understanding and everything. And then, of course, there is a lot more about gratitude, because you are literally rewiring our brain to look at what is going well in our life. And so these are not just things that we say because we are women, because we are therapists, because we like energy and vibration, but actually journaling and writing, they are important tools for our mental health, wellness, for our happiness, and help us to really look. And I think they have a retroactive power, because we can look at the notes that we have written years ago and look back at an event of which we have a completely distorted memory now. We look back and say, oh, that's what actually going on now. And that was going on then. I can see a pattern. Or look how enthusiastic I was. Look how happy or how unhappy I was. So it's a huge tool for understanding on how we are changing perspective. So thank you so much for coming back to something that people will say, oh, it's all about vibration and fluff. Science-based as well. So guys, if you want to go home with one thing from this episode, is that looking down at your piece of paper of what you have written, even little emoji type happy face, that will tell you a lot about yourself, more than a therapist can even tell you sometimes, It's you just letting this stuff come out, and it needs to come out. So stop bottling up and start opening up. Here we go. It's a catchphrase today. We have right. a headline. Now when I prepare advertising. So thank you again, Magdalene, for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me again, friends. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. So if you have found this episode to be useful, please click like. That helps us so that our channel can be visible to more people. And share it maybe with a friend who is always closed and buttoned up and needs to open up a little bit. Might be the day that they start opening up. Thank you so much. Have a good day and see you all soon. Take care.
Thank you.
You listen to Create with Franz Sydney.